solemnly swear that we are up to no good.
Welcome to We Solemnly Swear, a Mickelson podcast. We are a group of sisters who are diehard Harry Potter fans who want to share our crazy passion and knowledge with our fellow Potterheads. Today we have...
Nadine, your hellfire Hufflepuff.
Lexi, your unholy Hufflepuff.
Jamie, your guilty Gryffindor.
And Tori, your reprobate Ravenclaw. Yay! Phew.
Like fire.
I thought we agreed not to sing this song.
We're all here. Well, besides Angela.
So when we were little, like, you know, we don't say that word, right? It's a bad word. So we would call it H-E double hockey sticks, H-E double toothpicks, stuff like that.
H-E double toothpicks has like zero like fire behind it.
No, but so we changed the lyrics of the song. Me and my brother, we would yell toothpick fire. And that was just you just knew what we were swearing when we said toothpick. Not that it's a swear word or anything. We just that's how we sang it.
That's hilarious.
That's so funny. Oh my gosh.
Toothpick fire. Need a lot of toothpicks.
Yeah, it was a pretty big fire.
It's a pretty big fire. It's like so underwhelming. Tonight we are talking about the cursed child. Woo-hoo! Dun dun.
See how she dun, said that, dun. Tori?
What?
Did you hear how she said that?
You know what?
No,
just because
no,
I say cursed
said,
it doesn't mean
no, cursed. Cursed child. She calls it cursed.
I put a spell on you. No, I say cursed. I don't know why I said it, but that's how people say it.
People or you?
That's how you say it.
I'm pretty sure there's a handful of people that say it the way I say it. Yes, I understand that when I read the word cursed, I would say cursed. But I don't know. It makes it sound really cool.
Isn't that the word?
I have been cursed.
I wouldn't say it in that that point in my life right there. Just like when you're saying the title, like cursed child. Like,
that child has been cursed. It doesn't make any sense.
Oh my gosh. All right, I will refrain from saying cursed.
Good. I recently just read this for the first Woo-hoo! Time.
Finally!
So, catching up here.
It's been out how long, James?
I mean, I had a pretty long, I need to read all these other books, so it just happened. But I wanted to talk about it. And my first question is this book actually canon?
That's the big debate.
It is.
The big kahuna question.
That is.
About this book.
Because did J.K. Rowling actually help writing it?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
That's what I thought.
And I also want to just kind of plug, because I'm four. This is canon. I want to say, like, the way that it is written is similar to how she has done Fantastic Beasts and Crimes of Grindelwald and will do Secrets of Dumbledore. So, in my head, yes. But yes, there are some things that you're just kind of like, ugh, like, this is weird. But we also have to realize that this is 10 years later. Like, it's... We haven't grown up with... Like, we haven't had that continual living with Harry in Harry's brain for 10 years. And now he's an adult. He has three kids. Things change.
He's changed.
Yes.
Three kids will change you.
Three kids will change you. Harry freaking Potter. So in my brain, yes, this is canon. And yes, JK did help. But yes, I know that there are so many people that are like, I hate this. They do not agree with a lot of aspects from it and get frustrated with how different the characters are. But again, everyone is 10 years older. We're not looking at Harry as he walks off victoriously after the Battle of Hogwarts. This is 10 years later. He has a job. Like, it's different.
Jobs will
Life
also
is different.
Change you.
He's got a 9-to-5. He's got three kids. He's busy.
It's like 20 years later, isn't it?
Is it 17 years later? Am I totally wrong by saying
it's 10? 19 years later.
Yeah. Okay. So even more time has passed.
Even more time.
This is only proving my point more.
That's good to know.
Yeah, when I read it, I accepted it as canon. There wasn't anything that I was like, I disagree with this. So when I read other people's complaints, I'm like, yeah, I can see where you're coming from. But J.K. Rowling had such a big hand in writing it that I'm like, how do you not accept it? It's canon.
Okay.
Yeah, I think what's the most frustrating, and we'll probably get into it, is like it's the typical time travel dilemma, right? Where it's like Back to the Future. They go back in time and change their future. And it's like, that's every single time travel story. Uh-huh. That's exactly what happens, is they go back in time, change one thing, and then the future they go back to is totally different. And it's like, that has been in like sci-fi world discussions. Like, it's an overdone storyline. And so it's a really tired story. And that's really frustrating. A lot of the assumptions that are made about characters, Cedric, in this story, right?
Right.
Like, there's a lot of frustrating pieces of like assumptions of, if this person had lived or died, here's how they would have acted. And it's like, what? Like, jumping to conclusions for unnecessary drama, in my perspective. But
mm-hmm. Yeah, that was one thing I was really shocked. Like, I remember my initial thing was, I was surprised that, because like, she brought in time turners in the third book, and she told everyone she immediately regretted it because of all the complexities that what their time travel did, and why can't you apply it here, and all this mm-hmm. stuff. And that's why she destroys all of them in the fifth book.
All of them.
So she could just like, oh, that's why it's not an option, because they're gone. And then she brought them back. I'm so confused.
It's a lot. And I definitely agree with I had an issue with the time stuff, because it was weird. And I get that it's 20 years later. So I guess my next question will be slightly less like charged as it was, but like, why on earth, the first thing that I thought, why on earth was Ron in charge of the joke shop 20 years later? I was like, what the heck? Like, and he sucked at it. It was like all dad joke stuff, and I was like, Ron. Like, so that's my first question, is why did that actually happen, like in Harry Potter?
I thought it was a sweet tribute to Fred, like him stepping up to run it with George, right? That was the idea.
Okay, so he does run it with George.
That's what I thought. Because
it never mentions George.
I don't think George is in the play. Yeah. It's a pretty small cast for the show, which would be, even though we're like going to dissect it today, I would love to see this on stage. It'd be amazing to see on stage. But I don't think she wrote George into the script, just because it'd be one more character to cast.
Yeah. I think it's implied, though. Like this, that, like Wizarding Weasley Wheezes, that was a big thing for the twins. And I bet Ron stepped up. And yeah, it is weird, Jamie. I was kind of mad about it. Like, with all the stuff that he's done and all the growth he had, like, I wanted him to do something different or be something different.
Yeah. Like, I just felt like
he
could have done something else. Like, he was kind of like this middle ground of like, I like make sure the kids are like ready to go to Hogwarts. And then like, I play dumb jokes on people. And I'm just like that's all you do? Like,
that's it.
Yeah. No, it was a little disheartening that, like, hearing that. You're just like, Ron, like, it's wasted potential. Is that what is?
I know. My disclaimer is I haven't read this book since it came out. Bought it when it came out, read it, and it has been that long since I've read it. I gave it to my brother because I was like, by the way, you should read this. And then he still hasn't given me back my book.
Well, yeah, most of my points will just be jumping around, because some of it, like, of the story itself, I wouldn't want to like go piece by piece, but like, so that was like one aspect of just like learning 20 years later where they're at, and then learning about Malfoy's wife, and that she died from, how do you say it, malediction, what is it?
Oh, yeah, it's that same thing that what's her face in Fantastic Beasts has, right?
Nagini.
Yeah.
So is she related to Nagini then?
No.
Well,
I mean, I don't know.
That would be
for sure not. I know their bloodlines. No.
Well, no. That's So I guess I just didn't understand. Like, she's not a snake, so.
The thing is it's not like it's a curse.
Yeah.
it's a curse. It's not,
it's like,
like
a form. Like you it could does say cancer. With,
yeah, it's like it goes with blood. But it's a curse on the family, and like the women have it, kind of a thing. But it's like from the mom to the baby in the womb. Like that's why Nagini had it.
Okay.
Yes.
I mean, I still haven't caught up on that part either, so I'm still a little confused here, but that's fine. We will move forward.
We went into Maledictus like really deep when we did like our Horcrux. Was it back in our Horcrux?
No, I think
it was on our Crimes of Grindelwald minisodes.
Oh, was it?
Yeah.
Because we like talked about it for a long time. We'll link it.
Yeah. But send me.
Yes,
send me
the link. She has this.
Check the description of the podcast.
Okay. So 20 years later, after obviously the Battle of Hogwarts, everyone is still rude to Slytherins. And that kind of made me mad because everyone, he was like, yeah, I don't want to be a Slytherin. And then he became a Slytherin and like Rose is like, yeah, I'm not talking to you anymore. And I was just like, it was 20 years. How did we not lose this stereotype?
Yeah.
Well, they did not fight in the Battle of Hogwarts. So.
Yeah, I was going to say that is a really big stance to take.
They chose
an entire
their side.
Yeah, like they were like, nope. And yeah, like, I mean, not all the Ravenclaws fought, but I'm pretty sure they get less of a pushback because some of them did.
Yeah. But also, a big majority that some of them wouldn't want to fight is because they knew that their parents were going to be fighting. So it's
like,
you have to give those kids some lenience that they didn't want to deal with that.
Yeah. I just believe that the stigma kind of just probably magnified because of their, like, stance taking. Everyone was like, we know that all the bad guys go to Slytherin, but now we really know that all the people that support the bad guys or are bad guys are from Slytherin. And it's kind of like, well, shoot.
Yeah.
But yeah, that sucked a lot because it was kind of like, guys, like, it should be over. Like, this shouldn't be happening anymore. Yeah. 'Cause 20 years is a long time, like, to continue pushing that, like, just that whole idea.
Angela probably has a lot to say on this subject.
She probably did.
It's sad, though. So, yeah, it was sad to see that. But I actually was pretty stoked that Albus ended up in Slytherin. Because, like, I felt like that was more fitting for him. And he was he was mad about it and stuff. But, like, I still was kind of like, no, like, accept it, buddy. Like, I don't know. I guess I'm the wannabe Slytherin. So maybe that's just, like, my heart being like, you did it.
Jamie's like, this is my dream come true.
You are insane.
See, and I felt bad, too. Because, like, James Sirius, the older brother, was, like, born and bred to be a Gryffindor child. So, like, letting Albus be something different, like, was, I think, like, a boon. Like, can you imagine if one of the Weasleys got to be in a different house than all the other Weasleys? Like, they probably could have done something differently. I mean, Ron wouldn't have been Harry's friend or anything, but still, like, it would have been, I don't know, helpful. Like, everyone in your family expects you to be somewhere, and you're like, nope, I'm paving my own way.
Yeah.
I don't know. In my brain, it's like, yeah, that's pretty awesome. And then, I don't know. I thought it was, like, good how Harry, like, handled it, like, well, at first, not in the middle. At first, he was like, it's okay. In the middle, he's like, I don't like this.
Yeah.
But still. You're like, Harry, be supportive, you dumb.
No.
But can I tell you that Scorpius became my favorite person in the entire world?
He's, like, the best.
I love him. I'm like, Draco, you done good, son. Like, you did something good in this world. Because Scorpius
Team
is
Draco.
The coolest kid.
Yeah, I did like him. His just, like,
the coolest.
General yeah. hesitation of just being like, are you sure we are going to do this? Okay. Like,
okay,
is
let's
this
do
the
this.
Best idea?
I love it because it's the... It's what would have happened had Harry shook Draco's hand and, like, become friends with him when he's like, I can help you there. I mean, he couldn't have been more rude, but Scorpius is, like, 30 times better. So.
Yeah, that's true. This is true.
Definitely because of his mom, I'm sure.
Oh, yeah. 100%. Draco had to ease up.
Yeah.
Once Luscious was out of the way, I bet Narcissa was calm about it because she loves her son and she probably loves her grandson. Oh, yeah. It's all coming together.
So when we were introduced to, is it, do you say Delphi? Okay, I couldn't remember if it was like Delphina or something, and I just read it, so. But I was like crazy weirded out that this like 20-something was like flirting with this like 14-year-old, and I was like, no red flags? Like, are you serious, Albus? Like, you don't see this as concerning?
He felt special.
I don't remember how they meet. Are they like in Hogsmeade or in
Diagon Alley? She is the nurse to Amos Diggory.
Yeah.
And he, does he go to work with
him? No, he's at his house. He comes to Harry's house.
He's at his house.
And then Albus is at the staircase listening, and then she just appears on the steps next to him and like sits down next to him. And she's just like, da 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 da. And I'm just like, this is terrifying.
Like, this is weird.
And then like awkward. They like send like letters back and forth, and I'm just like, this is not gonna end well. Like, anyway, so
yeah, if Ginny had known about that, she would have shut that down.
Yeah, so I thought that was weird. But I mean, obviously they started this trip, and then they get on the train, and they're like, Kate, like, Albus is just like, we're gonna do this, we're gonna jump off the train, and we're gonna go to talk to Delphi and like Delphine. But I was really upset that they made the trolley witch like a monster thing. Like, that came out of nowhere. Like,
that was unexpected. That was cool.
Don't mess unexpected.
With her. Yeah, don't you dare get off
this train. She protects the Hogwarts Express.
I know. What better person to protect
and
than someone that's willing?
And how did Fred and George never come across
that's
this
right.
version of her?
Yeah.
That's right. They never got off.
I guess she just probably gives children candy and they're like, okay, we'll stay on the train. Like,
she's like, I'm going to make
you
happy.
This is my most effective strategy. Candy.
It's what's been working for 50 years.
I go
years.
Demon.
Seriously, though. So I thought that was a little crazy. But anyway, so they go and they're like, okay, like, we're going to use Polyjuice Potion and we're going to sneak into Hermione's office. And I was so mad that obviously... it was almost like the same setup of the first book with Dumbledore being like, here's a really easy puzzle for you to figure out. But I was like, Hermione freaking wouldn't have done that. Like,
nope. I was rooting that there was like a switch or like it was a fake one and then it would alarm something off. Like, she's supposed to be very strategic and think about the possibilities beyond that.
Yeah. Like the most obvious like riddles to me where I was just like, that wouldn't have happened. But obviously to make the book work or the play work, they needed to be able to get it. So I'm just like, okay, whatever.
Yeah. For the plot.
Yeah. Don't forget the plot twist. Also, it was really weird that he kissed his aunt. That was weird.
Yeah. Yeah.
And they just plowed over that as if that was total. Yeah, he does. Albus kisses Hermione, and it's apparently all okay.
Because he takes Ron's hair. Isn't
yeah,
he Ron?
He's Ron.
He pretends to be Ron. I don't know who Scorpius is.
Yeah, Scorpius was Harry.
Yeah, so Albus had to kiss Hermione as though he was her husband, and is like, mwah, love
that
you.
That just, like, pays homage to the movies of, like, when Ron has to, like... embrace that woman. Like, I was so that's worried. And he's like, I've got to go.
That was so funny. Like, that character, like, that actor did so good. Just, like, portraying, like, a like he's like, oh, my gosh. He's like, Harry.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah. So awkward, though.
But, I mean, that's a secret he probably took to his grave.
Mm-hmm.
Or wait, did he say
no,
it?
They don't talk about
did
it.
He tell?
But I think, oh, okay. I would think they'd figure it out. Like, they'd be like, okay, like, when did you steal the time turner? And then Hermione would be like, oh my gosh, like, you wanted to have a baby? Like, what's wrong with you, Albus? Like, what's just the most random thing to say to your aunt? Like, I don't know. So, I thought it was too much.
From an outsider perspective, he's like, okay, they're upset with each other. If she finds me, I gotta say nice things. Like, you look beautiful today,
fix
honey.
This relationship.
Let's have a baby.
Yeah, it was a little much. Anyway, we already kind of touched on this, but I was kind of disappointed with the idea that if they humiliated Cedric, he would become a Death Eater. I was like,
don't believe that. Not for one second. No. Not for one second. No. No.
I was angry about that. Like,
no,
that
Hufflepuffs. Go to the dark side.
Well, and Cedric was so good even prior to this. Like, he was very noble. He was very kind. Even when Harry fell during their Quidditch match the year prior, he was like, let's have a rematch. Like, that was unfair. Mm. He was very, very upstanding. Like, no way would just being, like, humiliated, he would get over it. Yeah, it might change, like, his direction or path or what he would choose in life, but I don't believe that he would be like, all the way, like, let's do this.
Let's do this thing.
Right? Yeah. Like, no.
Yeah.
I was upset about that. Like, that was far-fetched.
Yeah, I agree. So they went the first time, they come back, and then all of a sudden, Harry's freaking yelling at Professor McGonagall, he's just like, you will do this, otherwise you're a crappy teacher and you don't have children and you know what you're doing. And I was just like, son, like, you need to sit down.
Do
you know who you're talking to? Professor Minerva McGonagall, like, headmaster?
He like was able to do a curse, like the Cruciatus curse, because of her. So I'm just like, there's no way that he would flip and do this. Like,
no,
I don't know. So
no, it's frustrating, that whole thing. There is a I don't like that. I don't agree with that. I really am upset about it. But there's like a lady that does cartoons of like adult Harry, adult Ron and Ginny and stuff like that. And there's like a whole like side series of her cartoons where he goes and visits Professor McGonagall and like just chats with her. And it's, she always is like, have a biscuit, Potter. And like they sit and they have like chats. And it's always so like awesome and wholesome and uplifting. And they like talk about really cool things. It's not, you don't know anything, like, kind of a thing. It's like, he's not a teenager again. Like, it's really bothersome.
Yeah.
Well, she's, like, the actual real mentor to him. We all thought it was Dumbledore, but Dumbledore was kind of a douche and didn't do anything really to help her. McGonagall actually was there to help him and gave him actual tactical advice.
Standing there the whole time.
Have you been talking to Tori a lot?
Okay, Nadine, if you think about McGonagall versus Dumbledore and who helped and mentored Harry more, and McGonagall definitely protected and advocated.
And nurturing, not a douche.
Yeah, up until he just led him to slaughter. Oh
my goodness gracious.
I think it's time for a Dumbledore debate round two. Having children has changed me, Nadine. My whole perspective.
Lexi would never want her child to be dropped off on a front porch and like, good luck.
I left them magical
protections.
What if Dumbledore and McGonagall take care of my child? Porch,
Nadine. Who was there to make sure
she took the baby? We're gonna cap this before someone dies. Oh, but Dumbledore debate 2 coming soon. So at this part of the cursed child, as we were talking, so when Malfoy, Harry, Hermione, Ron, and Ginny are all talking, trying to figure out what the heck happened, they realize that odds are, like, Voldy had a child, and they're like, oh, like, no, that's not possible. And like, it goes back in this just dialogue, and Harry's like, no, and Ginny's just like, yes, it's true. And then it just like ends scene, and I thought that Ginny was trying to say that she had Voldemort's child, and she was just like, yes, it's true. And I was just like, and then they just jumped to the next freaking scene, and I was like, hold the freaking dear Harry. Are we going to talk about this? Like, did this happen when he...
What a revelation.
Like, I was dying for, like, a whole freaking set until they came back to the adults, and they, like... I was just like, oh, okay, it was with Bellatrix. Like, cool, okay, that's fine. But I was like, woo!
It's true. It happened.
I know.
Jenny's like, it happened.
I thought it was, like, it could have been, like, man, like, maybe she, like, only remembered at this moment... because she was like totally brainwashed when she was 12, and I was like, no, I don't want to think about it. It's just the worst. So I was just, yikes. I was terrified.
Jamie, I'm so
that
sorry.
That's dark.
That would have turned dark real
it
quick.
It did.
Yeah.
This is Jamie's awful. Like, we are
Jamie's like, I need to read Chamber of Secrets again.
Yeah. It was scarring, so... and I was really struggling.
Jamie's like, I quit everything. I quit it all. No more Harry Potter. No more Harry Potter podcast.
So, but it's okay. That's not what happened. So, we're gonna be okay.
I mean, it's still pretty sketch that he had a child.
Yeah, we don't need to think about it. But the fact that it wasn't with Janine makes me like feel way better.
We don't have to think.
So,
yeah, we're good. We're good. So yeah, it wasn't Ginny.
No, it wasn't Ginny. So.
Wasn't cheating.
Okay, so then Albus and Scorpius head back yet again, and then when they come back, it is like Hogwarts is this like torture chamber, like learn how to torture your fellow students, like whole thing, which is terrifying.
Woohoo! Basically, the sixth year. Wait, is it the seventh year? The sixth year?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Seventh.
The seventh year. Basically, the seventh year all over again with the Karrows and Snape.
So, yeah, I thought that was pretty crazy. And then I thought it was interesting, like, when he does go up to Snape, that, like, Snape stayed good the whole time in this scenario.
Mm-hmm.
Pass.
Yeah.
Good is in giant quotes. Good. It's not real.
It's real. You garbage said this was man. Canon. At the beginning.
You said this.
Yeah. Oh, I'm pretty sure he's just playing a part. Mm-hmm. Like he's had his whole life. Mm-hmm. Nadine, just because you like Dumbledore and Snape doesn't mean the rest of us have to.
I don't like Snape. I accept him for what he is.
Garbage.
Oh, goodness. But yeah, I questioned that a little bit. But also having everybody like die by Dementors was really terrifying. That was
a freaky scene.
Like there was
You're like, well that's it.
And there was
the
like,
end
a lot of
Harry Potter
death right there. So
childhood.
yeah. And so we've talked about the back and forth with the time travel conflicts. I was mainly annoyed that Delphi just like knew what was going on the whole time. As if like her whole plan was like working out perfectly, and I was just like, everything could have changed. Like,
it was really it was annoying because she was like on an outside bubble of what the entire world is changing except her. But the other thing that you have to take into account is that she shouldn't exist like at all. So yeah, any sort of chaos is probably like right up her alley. She's like, excellent, this is perfect. Yeah. As long as she continues to exist. I'm pretty sure it's all great. All dandy. Yeah.
So I just.
Yeah. Cause they go back in time multiple times.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So the fact that she, like you said, keeps up and is excited about the changes that happen every time, even though she's not on the ride every time.
Well, she doesn't
time
go
changes,
at all on purpose.
She doesn't go at all. And it's like, wait a second. How do you always know what has changed and happened?
Yeah. So that bothered me with the time conflict, but obviously we talked about that's just a general issue with stuff. So. If only we made a time machine and we could just know what was going on, but and then my next piece that I was going to bring up,
your classic bad guy lair.
Well, I had purposely skipped one part up here. I guess I was just annoyed that Malfoy had a time turner that he like whipped out and was like, well, we can use this one that my father's been like hiding for like ever. It's just like convenient, Malfoy.
Well, there's so many questions that come with the fact that the Malfoys had a time turner. Like, really?
Yeah.
Really? We're not going to talk about it right now? So it's more, I don't know. It's more believable that like one would survive if with the Ministry or one would survive with Dumbledore, not that the Malfoys had one this whole time, that they could have done some different things or gone back and did different things. Yeah. So it's like, it's the whole time that like that was annoying.
Yeah.
You're like, really, guys?
It just didn't fit altogether, but that is okay. So anyway, so they, the parents in like the current timeline, go and they find like the bad guy lair. And like, I just like kind of loved that she just like had a little switch to turn it into like evilness, and written on the wall, it's written like, says like, "I will avenge you, father," type of stuff. but very helpful towards the plot. I understand that.
What is it in Megamind? It's like, where is there like a catalog for bad guys to get blinky lights and weird dials? He's like, actually, there's a guy in Romania. I'm like, you're like, oh my god. Oh my gosh. Sorry, that's all I always think. Seriously
though, Megamind's the best movie out there.
It is. Especially when they're talking about the microwave of evil. I'll just reheat it in the microwave of evil.
Warranties are invalid and it's used for their intended purposes. Exactly.
Maybe I got the extended warranty. She's like, girls, girls, you're both pretty. Can I go home? Oh, it's so funny. Okay, anyway, back to Cursed Child.
So another point that, like, I mean, at this point, like, they're trying to kind of mend... Like, so Harry just, I feel like Harry was allowed to struggle, obviously, as a parent. I think that that's not a bad thing to show. But I also thought that it was sad that what they chose to have him struggle with was say exactly what I don't think he would say by saying he, like, rejected Albus, which is exactly how Harry felt his whole life. So.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right?
Like, yeah, that was just a little much to me of being like, hey, like, Harry wouldn't have done that. Like, he's allowed to struggle as a parent. Totally.
Oh, yeah.
But.
Well, that's the thing is, like, Harry's been on the outside, was on the outside most of his life. He understood that to a emotional, physical, mental, every degree that you could possibly be. Because, like, even when he was in the Muggle world with Dudley, like, everyone was afraid that Dudley would pick on them if they were even nice to him. So, like, Harry was on the outside. Like, and, yeah, he doesn't understand what it's like to be in Slytherin, but he understands what it's like to be a weirdo kind of a thing. Like, so it hurts so much that he like broke that much as a parent to say that he would reject him. Like, you're like,
I feel like it was just like a convenient plot point again to like push the story along and be like, what would be dramatic enough to cause Albus to want to do all of this, right? And it was like, that's not realistic. I feel like so much of this plot too leaves out Ginny and how grounded and level-headed she is. Like, if she was actually involved and like taken into consideration as Albus's mom, then he would definitely know that he is fiercely loved and protected, and like his parents are always there for him. Like, you know, Ginny would make sure her kids know that kind of stuff.
Well, even if you like factor in Grandma Weasley, like Molly would call that kid would be showered in blankets and knitted
like all the sweaters all day. I know, it's like they just focus on this unrealistic aspect of Harry rejecting Albus as his son, or like in a moment of him being broken, right? Yeah. Frustration, a moment of weakness. Harry says that, and it's like, wait a sec, like Harry wouldn't have said that in the first place, but also like Harry has Ginny who would like talk him through anything and help him with those issues. Also, Ginny would take care of her own kids, too. I don't know.
Oh, well, that was another thing.
The whole plot leaves out Ginny way too much. Yeah,
they left out Ginny. They didn't talk about Harry and Ginny's relationship. If anything, they just talked about Ron and Hermione's relationship and about how they really wanted you to make sure that it should have happened no matter the timeline of, like, even when they change little things, they're like, no, this is wrong. Harry or Hermione and Ron should have ended up together. But they say, like, absolutely nothing about Harry and Ginny.
I think that was JK because so many people got mad. I, too, got upset when, like, she came out and was like, Hermione was destined for Fred.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah, she said that dynamic. It was a mistake and they would have gotten divorced later.
Yeah. And so this was her, like, no, what I wrote is good. It's right. They were meant to be. And that's that whole focus on it was over dramatic, like you said, and like a little too much. It was just a little too much.
I agree.
Sorry, I just saw that. I'm so sorry.
We will continue.
I will shut up.
So they jump back in time, and I just died because Malfoy at one point is like, Hermione's like, okay, like, here's how we're going to take down Voldemort's daughter here and all this stuff. And then Malfoy's just like, I'm taking orders from Hermione, and I like it. And I was just like, whoa.
Have you seen all the fan art though? The Dramione, no. Like Draco and Hermione. Yeah. In
no, it's not the just fans' the fan eyes art, are Lexi, meant to it's be. The fan fiction. They have gone.
Yeah.
We are into different worlds. Everything.
I would ship that. Mm.
They're pretty adorable together. If he wasn't like calling her mudblood and abusing her mentally,
he was a
all of those of his huge red flags.
Lexi, we did a podcast on that too.
Yeah, we did.
You're crazy. You're going back on all these things.
No, I love Draco. I also love Draco and Hermione together, okay. But he was okay. Kind of a douche to her. So yeah. Not kind of. He was really mean to her.
He was.
Talk about a bully at school.
He was bullied.
He was the Cruella of Hermione's life. Even worse.
It's true.
Anyway.
I also thought at this moment when Harry has to become a Voldy, that would have been really traumatic for him, but also for Ginny.
Yeah. Ginny, like, 10 times more because she had... Yeah. Yeah, no.
So that was...
I mean, not 10 times more. It's pretty traumatic for Harry, too, right? Harry and Voldemort kind of have a history, whatever.
Just a little bit.
Harry just had to fight him, like, I don't know. It wasn't, I don't know. Never mind.
I mean, I thought it was a bad thing for Ginny, too, because she was...
I mean, wasn't Voldemort in Harry's mind his whole year of being 15?
Part of him.
It was literally
Harry got over it. Ginny had no one else to talk to. Except Harry about it. And Harry's like, well, I did. Shut up, Harry. I don't want to talk about your problems.
I suffered way more than you did.
So true. Let's not compare suffering.
So the end fight scene, again, it was just like a needed plot thing to me of making it so that it wasn't that easy to take her down. But in my opinion, it should have been pretty easy because there was like, what, 6 of them and like...
6
Half
adults.
Of them know like what they're doing, so but it was fine, whatever, that's cool. And then obviously watching his parents have to die, I thought that was really sad, just having to be there, but it was trying to create like a bonding moment in the sadness. So so yeah, obviously if you review all of our points, well, all of my points, there's a lot of negatives here. Which is why my first question was, is this canon or not, because it was definitely like there was some questions that I had. So but I mean, if that is how it was supposed to be, I guess that's how it's supposed to be. So
I mean, at the end of the day, at the end of the play, everything gets back to like the normal timeline, right? That's the idea. And so it's like nothing really happened in the story. A bunch of stuff happened and then got erased and then happened and then got erased.
Yeah.
And so it's like, at the end of the day, this could be canon because nothing actually happened or exists anymore in this storyline.
That's why there's so much fan fiction, because they just took their, like, he said this in this random part of the time, so we're going to go off of that.
Yeah. I just, like we've talked about, there's a lot of problems with it. And so I'm not the biggest fan. I don't, like go to this for information on the Harry Potter universe, right? And it's like, oh, well, in Cursed Child, it says this. It's like, nope, nope. This is not, like, my go-to doctrine source for anything, so.
I did find it.
It might be canon, but I don't have, like, Lexi stamp of canon on it, you know, because I'm, like, well, all-knowing of what's canon and what's not.
Toss it out of the library. No Lexi stamp.
Next time you're buying a book.
Yep.
No, I did appreciate, though, being able to see through Harry's kid's eyes. Like, that's... because that's a pretty kind of odd place to be. Like, your dad's basically a hero. Your mom was a Hollyhead harpy. Like, dang. Like, these kids have quite the shadow. Yeah. And then just all those insecurities of just being the freaking Potters. Like, oh, man. I don't know. Like, the Potters and Malfoys coming back together. It's kind of... I liked that aspect of it. Like, going back to Hogwarts and all that kind
yeah,
of stuff.
Yeah, I loved... older Draco, and yeah. I love the introduction of their kids and their relationships. Like, that was what made this book for me. It was just like the new characters and the development there. Mm-hmm. But yeah, when you really dive into it, it's like, oh, I got some issues. So
agreed.
So yeah, that was kind of a little quick synopsis on Cursed Child, And remember, you can follow us on social media at We Solemnly Swear Cast. Let us know what you think of Cursed Child. Do you accept it as canon? And what questions did you have about it after you read it? Or have you even read it? Some people refuse
would
to
Cedric,
read it.
Would Cedric have gone bad? Yes or no? Do you think?
That's
if
the
you
question
don't answer no,
answered.
You probably shouldn't be listening to this podcast. So,
on our highly Hufflepuff podcast, you probably shouldn't answer negatively on that question.
Yeah. Be careful how you answer that question.
They will
you
know come the right at answer.
You. We're very loyal. But yeah, leave us your questions. You know how to reach us, and yeah, this was fun.
Mischief managed.